Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is another update on the situation with regards to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about gas supplies because there's a lot going on right now. We'll look at what's going on with regards to energy infrastructure because that's become a big issue for a lot of countries. And we'll talk about what's been going on with regards to the abduction of the head of the nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. So in this episode, I'll give you the full details of a deal that's just been struck between Russia and Hungary to defer some payments. And this is a really interesting development because up until now, Russia has been playing hardball. It's been telling all of the countries of Europe, if you don't do what we tell you, then we will switch off your gas supplies. And we've seen President Putin carry through on that threat with a number of countries, including Poland, Finland, Bulgaria, and Denmark. However, the situation seems to be changing, and Russia have now agreed that they'll accept deferred payments from Hungary. And this change of tactic may indicate that Russia is now becoming concerned about the huge loss of revenue that it's encountered since it's been switching off all of those supplies. And it now wants to do some business, and it's basically offering Hungary a big discount. So we'll go through the details of that, and I'll talk about the implications of this later in the video. I'll give you an update on what's going on with regards to Italy's gas supplies, which have been affected, and also share with you some surprising information about Italy's purchases of gas from Russia. We'll then go on to talk about a warning that the UK has given with regards to gas supplies for this winter and potential blackouts. We'll have a look at an investigation that Sweden has now started on the Nord Stream pipelines. And I'll tell you about some increases in infrastructure security that have started happening as a direct result of the Nord Stream attacks. We'll then have a chat about the recent abduction of the head of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant by Russian troops, who apparently took him away blindfolded and interrogated him for a number of days. And I'll talk about the potential implications of that nuclear power plant, which is currently sitting in Russian-occupied territory, whether or not there's a potential for some sort of nuclear disaster to happen here. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of all of the issues that we're discussing in this video are for Russia, the European economy, and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm on a big push to try to get to 200,000 subscribers, so if you could help, I'd really appreciate that. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the entire thing from front to back, you can pick and choose which sections you want to watch. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon links. And once again, I'd just like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. Hungary is a member of the European Union, but unlike the rest of the countries, it's been given a dispensation to continue buying gas from Russia. Because it's landlocked, it's very difficult for Hungary to be able to find alternative replacements for the gas. Hungary's trade deficit has ballooned this year due to its surging energy costs, increasing its vulnerability and weakening its currency, the forint, which plunged to a record low versus the euro this week. And it's now been announced that state-owned energy group MVN has agreed with Gazprom to defer its payments for gas purchases if prices exceed a certain threshold value, allowing MVN to pay for the gas over the coming 3 years if prices surge. In terms of the estimates of the total value of the deferred payments, Hungary are expecting it to be around 1 billion euros. However, if the price of natural gas rises to levels that we've seen during the Ukraine conflict, then the deferred payments could rise to between 3.5 and 4.5 billion euros. The Hungarian authorities are hoping that the deal will ease the correlation between rising gas prices and the currency, which has slid significantly over the last few months. An added benefit of this deal is that MVM will now have 30 days to buy the euros they need to pay for the gas, rather than the current position of 5 days. And it's hoped that this change will also ease the pressure on the currency. Under a 15-year deal signed in 2021, Hungary receives 3.5 billion cubic meters of gas per year via Bulgaria and Serbia under a long-term deal with Russia, and a further 1 billion cubic meters via a pipeline from Austria. To mitigate the impact of the current increase in market prices, MVM Group and Gazprom have agreed to defer payments for the forthcoming winter period. MVM said it would also tap 800 million cubic meters of cushion gas held in reserve, worth around 1.5 billion euros at market price, to aid government efforts to keep a lid on household energy bills. Hungary's central bank, which raised its base rate by 125 basis points last week to 13%, said Hungary's current account deficit was in the danger zone and urged the government to stabilise finances. So I think this deal is particularly interesting because Hungary is in a state of crisis, and unfortunately it is fully dependent on oil and gas supplies directly from Russia. And the EU has acknowledged this and allowed Hungary to have an exemption and not have to join the outright oil ban that comes into place in December for the rest of the EU. So the deferral of payments to Russia will ease the cash crisis for Hungary, and it's hoped that it will help the currency bounce back. But the problem that we have here is that Hungary is essentially building up debt with Russia. Deferring those payments means that it still owes the money and it's going to have to pay it in the future. So unfortunately, Hungary hasn't really broken away from its dependence on Russia. So what we've got here is a European country that's actually increasing its debt burden with Russia. It's increasing its dependency. And that will obviously leave Hungary open to political leverage from Russia in the future. Sweden has confirmed that it sent a diving vessel down to the site of the Nord Stream leaks to investigate the source of the problem. The Swedish Coast Guard said Nord Stream 1 had stopped leaking, but an overflight recently suggested gas was still draining out of Nord Stream 2 and bubbling to the surface over a 30-metre radius. Now, the fact that Sweden are looking to physically inspect the site of the damage is really interesting. The biggest question that everybody is looking for the answer to with regard to the explosions on the Nord Stream pipelines is whether or not the explosives were on the outside of the pipe or the inside of the pipe. And the answer to that question will be clearly visible from the physical damage, because if it was on the inside, the explosion will blow out of the pipe. If it was on the outside, it will blow into the pipe. Now, if it transpires that the explosives were laid on the outside of the pipe, then that still leaves the question open as to who is responsible, because that would mean that any country in the world could have undertaken this action. However, if it turns out that the explosives were on the inside of the pipe, then that would point very strongly to this being an inside job, literally, because you would need to have access to the interior of those pipes. And the country with easiest access to the inside of the Nord Stream pipelines is Russia. And as I mentioned before, any company that operates a pipe will use what's known as pigs, which are robotic devices that can move inside of pipes to undertake maintenance work. And the theory is that one of these pigs could have been loaded with explosives and then set off with a remote detonator at the appropriate point. So it will be fascinating to see what the outcome of this investigation from the Swedish authorities is. Now, a couple of really interesting pieces of news have come to light with regards to Italy's purchase of natural gas from Russia. And it's been reported that no gas has been flowing to Italy since the end of September. Concerns have been raised that Russia is now looking to target Italy and to cut off all of its supplies. However, the head of Eni, which is the Italian gas company purchasing the gas from Gazprom, has stated that the reason is not geopolitical, but is related to the fact that because the gas is moving through Austria, from the 1st of October, Gazprom is required to put a 20 million guarantee in place to cover the transport of gas through Austria. Now, it's reported because of the existing situation and the financial sanctions that are in place, Gazprom is not prepared to provide that 20 million guarantee. And the Italian authorities are now looking into other ways around this problem. But in the meantime, Russia have stopped the supply of gas to Italy through this pipeline. Now, the Italian authorities have advised that they're not concerned about the current supply levels, and storage levels are close to 100%. And one thing very interesting that's come to light as part of all of these discussions is that Italy has actually been continuing to buy a lot of gas from Russia, so much so that they've actually had a surplus, and they've been selling their excess capacity onto the Netherlands to benefit from the increase in the price in the international market. So Italy have basically been buying cheap gas from Russia and then selling it on at a profit to the rest of Europe during the course of the last 7 months. Following on from the Nord Stream pipeline attacks, concerns have been rising about the potential for other infrastructure to be attacked by terrorism. And I recently posted a video talking about the cables that have been laid under the sea all around the world, which provide direct internet access between Europe, the USA, Africa, Latin America. And these cables and other such infrastructure could be prime targets for terrorist activity, because that would then bring down the communications network and would cause major economic problems for a lot of companies in the world. And following on from this theme, Norway have now confirmed that they've posted soldiers at their major oil and gas facilities to provide extra security to try to prevent some form of attack taking place. And Italy has also strengthened its surveillance and controls on underwater energy and telecommunication cables. And whilst these are the first two countries that have actually announced that they've increased their security, I would expect that every country in the world is currently undertaking a security review, and it's likely that we'll see a major increase in all infrastructure security going forward. And once again, the increase in security costs is another unforeseen cost that we're seeing as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and is going to add further to the inflationary pressures around the world. The United Kingdom has announced that it faces significant risk of gas shortages this winter and a possible emergency situation as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The official UK regulator, Ofgem, has stated that there is a real possibility of a gas supply emergency in which gas supplies to some gas-fired power plants are curtailed, which can stop them from generating electricity. Now, the UK has a high dependency on natural gas. In 2021, 40% of all electricity was generated from gas-fired power stations, and 80% of all homes in the UK are heated using natural gas. This chart shows a summary of where the UK sources its gas supplies from, and it shows that 38% comes from the gas fields that the UK owns itself, 28% comes from liquefied natural gas imports, and 34% comes from pipelines directly from Europe. And prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the UK was only sourcing 4% of all of its gas supplies directly from Russia. So based on that percentage, it seems surprising that the UK regulator is stating that there could be an emergency and a gas crisis this winter. But the issue for the UK isn't the direct supplies from Russia. It's the impact on the European market that the movement away from buying Russian gas is having on demand. So the situation that we have in Europe is that Russia has switched off the supplies to a number of different countries. So Poland, Denmark, Finland, Bulgaria, the Netherlands have all had their supplies switched off. And Germany has also seen a massive reduction in the amount of gas coming directly from Russia, as the supply from the Nord Stream pipeline was reduced significantly in July and August. And then following the recent explosions, no gas is moving through the pipeline at all. So the consequence of the switch off of all of those supplies is that all of the European countries are now trying to change their supply chains. So we're seeing a huge rise in demand for all of the available gas, which has driven up prices. Now, regulators are required to look at the worst case scenario. So Ofgem will have run models looking at what could possibly go wrong in the supply chain and also factoring in a particularly severe winter. And if we do get a very cold winter in Europe, that will cause major problems, because when we have really cold periods, there is a sudden increase in demand for both heating in homes and electricity. And so there's a massive spike in demand for gas. And it will be difficult for the current supplies to be able to meet a spike in demand. And so it may be necessary for the storage capacity of gas to be run down. And that then leaves the UK and other countries exposed to potentially running out of gas. And that could mean that they can't generate enough electricity and we could see blackouts. And if we do have shortages of gas and electricity, that will have a direct impact for industry that needs to use those sources of energy, and therefore that will reduce production, and therefore that will have an impact on the economy. So once again here, we're seeing evidence of the war in Ukraine having a potential major impact on the economy of the UK and probably some other countries in Europe, because the UK is representative of a lot of countries. A lot of countries have to import gas in order to produce electricity and to provide it to their citizens. So the UK won't be alone in this crisis if we have a very cold winter in 2022. Earlier this week, it was reported that the Ukrainian head of the nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia had been detained by Russian forces. State-owned power company Energotum issued a statement advising that Ihor Musharov was detained on his way home from the nuclear plant. He was reportedly removed from his car, blindfolded, and driven to an unknown destination to answer questions. However, Russia have not issued any formal statements regarding this matter. In response, the head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog called for Mr. Murashov to be released and said that his detention poses a threat to safety and security. After a number of nights in captivity, it's now been confirmed that he's been returned to his family safe and sound, and no details have been released in terms of what questioning was undertaken and what information the Russian forces were looking for. So this is obviously a concerning development, and I thought it was worth taking a moment to have a chat about the nuclear power plants that exist in Ukraine, and particularly this one in Zaporizhia, because It's been taken over by Russia and the Russian forces. And there's been some speculation in the press as to whether or not this could represent a potential nuclear disaster at some point in the future. You may have seen reports that there's been some shelling that's landed close to the plant. And both sides have blamed each other for that. Russia claims that the missiles were Ukrainian, and Ukraine say that these were Russian detonated devices. This map shows the location of the 6 nuclear power plants in Ukraine. And obviously the most famous of all of these is Chernobyl, which encountered a nuclear disaster in 1986 when one of its reactors exploded. And that resulted in radioactive fallout, and the town of Chernobyl is now a ghost town. And you may well have seen some videos on YouTube or documentaries, or you may have seen the recent Netflix documentary which covered off exactly what happened there. Now, the Chernobyl disaster happened during the Soviet regime, and Ukraine has moved its technology forward, and the Zaporizhzhia plant is now the largest single nuclear power plant in Europe. And this map shows the number of nuclear reactors that each of the power plants in Ukraine has, and you can see that Zaporizhzhia has 6 nuclear reactors. Now, I won't get into too much detail, but the way that a nuclear reactor works is that radioactive material is used to create heat, and that heat is then used to turn water into steam, and that steam is used to drive turbines which produce electricity. And you may be interested and comforted to know that the Zaporizhzhia power plant uses different techniques to the Chernobyl plant. Chernobyl used boiling water reactors, whereas Zaporizhzhia uses pressurized water techniques, which are much safer. Now, Russian forces occupied this area early into the invasion, and the concern initially was some form of nuclear meltdown. So that would be a loss of power to the plant, which would mean that you couldn't cool the reactors. And if the reactors get overheated, then they could go into meltdown and we could have a similar disaster to what we've seen in other nuclear power stations around the world over the last 50 years or so. However, despite being under Russian occupation, the plant continued operating, so all of the operatives were kept in place. And over the last 7 months, the 6 nuclear reactors have all been shut down safely. So none of them are producing electricity anymore, and they've all been shut down. So that means that there's no chance of a nuclear meltdown. So from that perspective, everything looks safe. But aside from the actual reactors, there are some other risks, predominantly relating to old radioactive material that's been taken out of the reactors that has to be processed for up to 2 years before it can be disposed of. And this is really the area of expertise that you need all of the current operatives to stay working at the plant to make sure that everything is done correctly and there are no radioactive leaks. So that's why concerns are being raised right now with regards to the head of the plant being taken away by the Russian authorities. Now, from a warfare point of view, there are a couple of other concerns. Firstly, the issue of whether or not a missile could hit that plant and cause a nuclear explosion. Well, the good news from that perspective is that these plants have been built to withstand extreme damage. The reactors themselves are encased in large amounts of cement, which potentially could protect them from a plane strike. So if a plane flew into that building, it's reported that the nuclear reactors would be entirely undamaged. Whether or not repeated missile strikes would actually cause more damage than a plane strike, nobody really knows. So I guess that's one of the risks, that if somebody did send repeated missiles into the plant, at some point there is a chance that we could get a nuclear explosion and some sort of fallout. But the other risk that's been identified, and this is the big one, is some form of terrorism. So this would be a deliberate targeted exercise to actually explode the nuclear reactors. And that's the concern that's been raised by the Ukrainian authorities. And I guess this is a worry in terms of Russia being pushed back. If they get forced back out of this region, will they just retreat and leave the nuclear power plant in place and intact? Or will they want to cause some form of lasting damage? Now, if Russia wants to take this region for itself, it wants to be part of an enlarged Russia, it will want to keep that nuclear power plant because it provides enough electricity to fuel around 4 million homes. Now, currently it's dormant, it's not producing any electricity. But logically speaking, whoever owns this region going forward will want to restart that power plant so that it can get the local economy back up and running. So whilst Russia is still claiming that this area is its own, then it's unlikely to cause any damage to that power plant. But if at some point in the future it decides it wants to retreat and it has to give up on this annexation concept, then the big question is, will it be happy to just hand that back to Ukraine, or will it want to cause some lasting damage by causing some sort of nuclear explosion? So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I think the most interesting news that's coming out of today's video is the deal that Russia has struck with Hungary. This is the first time we've seen Russia striking a deal with a European country, essentially offering a discount, because deferred payment means that Russia won't receive full value for those gas supplies. It's building up some sort of debt that it will try to gather back at some point in the future. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, up until now, Russia has been playing hardball with all European countries. If you don't do what we tell you, we will switch off your supplies. But this is a complete change of tack. And it's really interesting to note that this deal has come after it was reported recently that August saw the lowest revenues for energy products for Russia for 14 months. The $11 billion that Russia earned in August was the lowest figure since June 2021 and represented a fall of 13% compared with the July revenues. And this is at a time when oil and gas prices are elevated. So Russia is now starting to suffer as a direct result of the large decrease in volumes that it's seeing because of all of the sanctions. And we're starting to see a change of tack. Russia now appears to be realising that it needs to do some deals and get some revenue in the bank. And the Hungary deal, whilst it's relatively small in terms of the total economy of Hungary, it shows that Russia is now prepared to be more flexible rather than saying our way or the highway. So I think this is a really strong indicator that Russia is starting to realise that it's not going to be straightforward to replace all of the revenue that it's losing from the West with China and India, and it's needing to do lots of small deals. If you're a business, it's always easier to have a small number of large customers rather than a large number of small customers, because having a large number of small customers gives you a lot more headaches. You've got to manage all of those accounts individually. You've got to strike lots of deals. There's lots of admin and paperwork and all sorts of hassle that goes with it. So it's far easier to just have a few large customers. And when you're dealing with oil and gas, that is exactly the situation you want to be in. You want to be pumping large volumes directly to countries like Germany and Italy. And Russia losing those large accounts means that it's going to now have to find a myriad of small countries like Hungary to be able to replace that revenue. So this is a massive challenge from Russia's perspective. And there's a really big question mark as to whether or not they'll ever be able to replace those large accounts. But even if they do, it's likely to take them years, particularly when you're talking about natural gas. Because the problem that Russia has is that it's removing all of the customers that it's piping gas to. And that's the easiest way of being able to supply this, because you can take it literally straight out of the ground, send it via a pipeline to the country that wants to buy it. Job done. That is the end of the supply chain. If you're then trying to replace that supply chain with sales to the Far East, you have to liquefy that gas. So that requires really big investment into the liquefied natural gas cooling plants. You then have to get the storage facilities to be able to send it overseas. And those customers then have to be able to regasify it. So there's a lot more cost and a lot more infrastructure. And Russia simply doesn't have any of that infrastructure right now. So it's impossible to be able to convert the gas sales that it's losing into replacement sales. 95% of all of Russia's gas sales in 2021 were in a gaseous form. The challenge facing Russia is they're now trying to replace that with liquefied natural gas, which is an impossibility. So the deal that we've just seen struck with Hungary reflects the fact that Russia is realizing that it hasn't got any markets for its natural gas, and therefore it needs to hold on to as many customers as it can. And Hungary's been given a dispensation by the EU because of its location to be able to keep buying that gas. And even though it's a member of the EU, Russia is happy to keep that supply going and has even offered this special arrangement to do so. Now, one of the other interesting stories in today's video is the news from the UK that they could potentially be facing an energy crisis this winter. There is a danger when we're talking about the positive developments that have happened over the last few months in terms of alternative supplies and new infrastructure being put in place, that we forget that this is the first winter that Europe is trying to make the break away from Russian gas. And there is a real possibility that we could see shortages of gas. And because Europe has built a lot of its electricity power stations to be fueled by gas, that means that there's a real risk of running short of electricity and we could see blackouts. And the implication of energy shortages is that we could see industry not having enough power to keep open, and therefore that would mean that businesses start to reduce their productivity, and that will have a direct impact on the economy of Europe and also the global economy, because as I've mentioned many times before, the whole world today is interconnected. So if we see contractions in the economies of Europe, some of which are the biggest in the world, it will definitely have an impact on every country globally. And although it's the UK that's raised this direct concern, this issue applies to many of the big economies in Europe. So there is a real risk if we have a very cold winter period over the next few months that we could see those supplies running short and countries could definitely start seeing energy shortages and electricity blackouts. The last issue that I wanted to pick up on today is the nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. It seems bizarre that Russian troops decided to abduct the head of the nuclear power plant and take him away for questioning, because this area has been under Russian control for a long period of time. So they didn't really need to do that. I'm sure they could have just turned up at the offices and questioned him on site, or just asked him to come and visit them wherever they're based. So this does seem quite peculiar. And given the fact that Russia is currently losing a lot of ground, it's being pushed back by the military forces from Ukraine, and it potentially could come under pressure in the Zaporizhia area. And I wonder whether or not Russia have some sort of master plan with regards to this nuclear plant. Now, the plant itself has actually been shut down from an operational perspective, so there's no risk of a meltdown occurring because of overheating. But there is a big risk that if somebody planted explosives near to those nuclear reactors, that it could cause a massive explosion and potential fallout. Now, Russia will not want to do that whilst they have this area under control. And as we all know, Russia recently formally annexed all of these areas. But if it decides that it has to retreat, that they have to withdraw the troops, then there is a big question as to whether or not Russia would do something divisive. They would do something that would deliberately cause this area to become worthless by exploding that nuclear power plant. Now, hopefully that's just a conspiracy theory that will never come to fruition. But when you've got nuclear facilities like this that are in a war zone, there is always the risk that something disastrous will happen. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. Thank you very much for watching this video all the way through to the end. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so.